This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining us now. Kevin, first and foremost, my friend, tell us about this this transfer here, this Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Year transferring to Colorado State. According to the socials, Kevin, Rams fans are just through the moon about this pickup.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you know, God bless fans, they'll kind of talk themselves into
Kevin Lytle transferred to CSU, and they'd be like, dude, this guy's legit.
They're like, well, you know, he doesn't have much size or athleticism or skill, but he'll try hard.
He'll try hard.
But, you know, that's, you know, I've joked before, and it's true that, you know, this time of year, every team just added the best transfers, and, wow, they really beefed up their roster. But especially on this one, you can understand the excitement from fans. I mean, Jalen Crocker Johnson played at Little Rock, you know, a school that probably most folks, you know, don't watch a lot of their games, if we're being honest. But played really well as a freshman. He was the Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Year, averaged about 10 points a game, about 5.5 rebounds a game. Looks like a guy with, you know, good athleticism, good skill set that also can grow. You know, he has 3 years of eligibility, so I think the hope would be that he can come in and be good right away and continue to get better and better.
So, Kevin, and again, folks, Rams fans, if you have questions for Kevin here, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm seeing, you know, we're looking at Joel Scott comparisons here. Talk to us about that compare. I mean, 6'8", 230 pounds.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen enough of his game. Obviously, I've seen, you know, a few kind of social media clips to know if it's more, if it's that or kind of a different style. You know, obviously, similar size and build, but I'm not sure on style. But yeah, I've seen some national folks that, you know, cover, you know, mid-majors like the Ohio Valley say that they think he'll develop into a really good shooter in addition to being, you know, a good paint guy. So, yeah, he seems like a really talented player. You know, I kind of heard from a source of, hey, you know, CSU has a guy on campus this week that they think is a really big addition if they can get him, and then it ended up being Jalen. So, yeah, this is a guy that certainly the staff is excited about.
Okay, so you got Jalen here, and we'll see, but, you know, this has kind of been the Rams' MO the last couple of years, is finding these kind of players that performed really well at a lower level, and then they make that transition. I think the coaching staff has done a phenomenal job of helping those players make that transition. I'm hearing rumors that there's another big name coming our way, Kevin. And again, big, it just depends on who you're talking to, I suppose. But is there another big name that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, so there's certainly another commit coming. Yeah, I think he's given his commitment to the staff, hasn't publicly announced it. I believe it's a guard from another mid-major. You know, we'll see when he comes out, but yeah, I mean, that we're seeing a mix of guys right now, aren't we? You know, there's a guy like Jalen that obviously is for the now, but, you know, in theory for the future as well, with, you know, several years. And then you have, you know, a couple really veteran guys as well coming in, which makes sense with kind of how they had to rebuild this roster. I don't want to say from scratch, but, you know, certainly a lot of pieces to fill. So with all these transfer additions, they're really mixing and matching both age and obviously type of skill set.
Kevin, have you jumped into just kind of a way too early preview of what this depth chart might potentially look like for CSU hoops next year?
Not quite yet. I think we still need to see. You know, there, depending on the Nick Clifford decision, there are,
sure,
you know, 3 to 4 spots still open. So we need to see who those are. You know, people tend to try and build it based on, you know, kind of an order of who comes in, just because, you know, you get familiar with those guys, but really that's not gonna be how it's built. You know, I think a guy like Jalen Crocker Johnson, you know, on the surface without knowing who else they sign, he seems like a guy that's gonna be a starter, so you would think he's in there. You know, Keyshawn Williams, the guard, from Northern Illinois. You know, you kind of wonder if he's potentially your point guard. Ethan Morton's a really intriguing one, the Purdue guard. You know, that seems to be a really good defender, but yeah, you know, struggled offensively there. See where he fits in. But no, I think really it's too early to start putting together, you know, sort of a starting five or even a top eight rotation until we see who's, you know, who the other guys are. And also freshmen, it's really hard to predict. I mean, those guys aren't even on campus yet. So, you know, even the coaches, yeah, they have ideas, but, you know, they don't know. A guy could come in and be really, really ready to go the way, you know, like an Isaiah Stevens was his freshman year. Or you could have guys that's like, hey, they're talented, but, you know, the college jump up is hitting them kind of hard. So right now I think it's super hard to guess who these, you know, where in the rotation these guys are. Obviously coaches have an idea, but I think even them, if you were to talk to them, they say, no, you know, that's going to be something we start figuring out in June when we, you know, summer workouts begin.
I promise I won't ask the next question will not be who's winning the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Okay. I will not pull a Tanner on you today. Kyan Evans, how are we feeling about Kyan Evans right now? I know the staff was really high on him and we just really, we didn't get much of a sample because Isaiah really never came out of the game. I think Evans was just coming in to give Isaiah a break. So how are we feeling about him?
Yeah, I think we don't know. He's become a curious one. He was, not him himself, but how fans view him, I should say, has become curious to me because, you know, he was pretty highly touted. You know, staff was, like you say, excited about him. But I've had a few people that, you know, probably should know better, said, you know, I'm out on him. And I kind of cock my head and go, what are you talking about? How can you be out on a guy? Like, he barely played and in a role he'd never been in. You know, you go from being the star and starter in high school to a, you know, a 4 minute a game guy. I'm not sure how you can make a big analysis of what he is or isn't in that. He obviously will have to learn and grow and do all that. But I don't know, everything I've heard and seen in practices, you know, nothing there has turned me off in thinking the guy, you know, can't become a good point guard at this level. But it is, you know, a big offseason, big summer for him to see how he handles, you know, the ability or the opportunity, I should say, to grow into a much bigger role. So I think it's, you know, it's all to play there for him and see what he can do. He's certainly a talented guy. Like I say, some of those folks that just say, nah, he doesn't have it. I just don't understand where that can come from.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. We just haven't seen enough of him yet. And Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, what has stood out to you in this transfer, you know, this past transfer portal period in the Mountain West, talking specifically basketball, unless, you know, you want to hit us with some football news too, but specifically basketball, because we know how stacked it's been over the years, but we are seeing a few guys hit that portal.
Yeah, it's been tough in a lot of ways. You know, some big names have left. Obviously, Gray Osabor left, which we kind of knew would happen after Danny Sprinkle went out. So that one probably isn't a stunner, but some of the ones that really hurt, you know, Lamont Butler leaving San Diego State, you know, is kind of a blow to certainly them and the league. You know, Udoje leaving at the last minute, Utah State hurt, especially because he had, you know, kind of recommitted, if you will. Then maybe the biggest blow, you know, league-wide is JT Toppin, you know, Mountain West freshman of the year guy, you know, certainly an NBA potential, was going to be, you know, him and Dent were going to be the face of that team. And then him leaving, you know, that's a pretty tough blow. So that's some really talented guys leaving. But I also think you're seeing some pretty good ones come in. And you're going to see some guy, you know, Donovan Dent, for instance, being one, guys that stay and become real stars. So it's been a mixed bag. Certainly, in a lot of ways, a tough go in the transfer portal here. But you also don't know who these guys, you know, maybe it's Crocker Johnson, you know, that come in that aren't necessarily a big name, but then become stars here. You're going to see some of that as well. So it's been tough in some ways, but I also think the league is still going to be in pretty good shape.
Kevin, what did you make of the story that came out, I believe, yesterday? I don't know if you've had a chance to really dig into it, but the NCAA potentially going to have to pay over $2.7 billion to settle an antitrust lawsuits right now. And obviously this is stemming from the NIL stuff. What did you make of that if you had a chance to break into it?
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to go in real deep detail on it specifically, so I'll talk a little more broadly. But yeah, it is all just a continuation of how things are moving. I think that things are and will continue to change. And the NCAA, I've said this multiple times, if the NCAA is going to court, just assume the other side, whatever it is going to win, because the NCAA loses everything when they go to court. So it's going to continue to go this way. I still think that the path we're headed toward is sort of, student athletes as employees of schools, because all of this is untenable right now. Like, we were just talking about the transfer portal. I could tell stories for days about, some of the things I've heard, how coaches are feeling and handling this all. Everything is just unhinged right now. And, I've been pretty publicly, an advocate for players, being able to get theirs in a $1 billion industry. I still am, but it's just uncontrollable in every way, and something, there's going to have to be something that changes. And, I think all these type of stories that you're mentioning are all part of it, of all the powers that be going to realize that whether it's the NCAA or something else is going to have to step in and create some control.
Yeah, and I maintain this, Kevin. I still say that 20 years ago, if the NCAA would have started to get out in front of this, then maybe it wouldn't be just it's all or nothing here, because now the transfer portal, it's become, you can transfer whenever. Maybe if the NCAA would have bent 20 years ago, they could have come to an agreement where it didn't have to go that far to the Supreme Court and all this stuff. It wouldn't have had to escalate to that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm completely with you. I remember I was speaking to a class of students in the fall, and they kind of asked, if I were in charge, what would I do? I'd say, if I were in charge, I would create a time machine and go back. And, even 5 years ago, it was very clear that, some type of, NIL was going to happen. I would go back and tell the NCAA just create guardrails instead of fighting against it. It was so clear to everyone involved that athletes were going to start getting a piece of the pie, which, again, I think they should. So instead of fighting that, why didn't they just create guardrails? And then, there could have been a system in place that, obviously no system's going to be perfect. And no matter what, there's always going to be pushback from some side. But there could have been a system in place that would, in most ways, be happy for everyone. But instead, they, basically stuck their head in the sand and said, nope, change is bad. We hate change. It's scary. We'll go to court. And then court, of course, kicked their butt.
Yeah, no question. Very well said by you, Kevin. I know you put together something for us that we can check out perhaps tonight or over the weekend or whenever at the Coloradoan. Kind of a preview of what that depth chart might look like on the offensive side of the ball. So that's a great read there where you break it down. Obviously, we know the strength is going to be Torrey Horton, but now we're going to see, okay, what's next? Is Jackson Warren, the transfer that they got, is he gonna take a big step for this team, be a big part of it like Dallin Holker was? Or do you see a guy like Justin Marshall, who kind of showed flashes at the end of the season on the running back side of things, maybe being a big focal point, even though it's the four air raid thing? We've talked about how running back can really be utilized there, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's a lot known, but a lot of fascinating question marks on that CSU football team, the offense there. Yeah, Jackson Warren on that depth chart is probably my biggest leap of faith of naming him as, a starter when he's not even on campus. But, that's all the whispers I'm hearing from, camp, is that they really like his skill set. And not that they dislike their group of tight ends, but that no one has really grabbed that spot and done can do everything they want out of it. So, yeah, I think Jackson Warren could step in. The receiver group is, Torrey is going to be Torrey. So that's zero question mark. But beyond him, who are the guys? There are a couple of vets, there are some young guys, they're looking at transfers. They just had Baylor receiver on campus, in transfer recruiting, so that one's TBD. But yeah, it's a group that you can see potential, but yet, you have to figure some things out too.
Well, and you noted, too, some of the guys that that left on the tight end wide receiver side, a lot of production there, either entering the portal or obviously now finding a new team, or in Dallin Holker's case, heading to the NFL. Kevin, great write-up there. Do you have, and maybe I just missed it, do you have a defensive depth chart that you're putting out that's next?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. That's going to be next. I'll have that early next week, so I'll follow offense with the defense. So early next week, we'll kind of go into that whole defensive unit and where they stand, because kind of likewise, some pre-established pieces, but some pretty significant question marks too.
All right, Kevin, future one. We keep talking about doing this, but when things slow down even more this summer, we got to get you in here. Angel will buy lunch, maybe. No, maybe not. And then we're going to do this Mount Rushmore thing. We're going to do this CSU Mount Rushmore, football, basketball, maybe overall. So I really want that to be a thing this summer. So just be ready. It's coming.
Absolutely. I'm going to spend some time here in May doing my breaking it down. I think I have my men's basketball. I think I have that in a pretty good area. Football, I really need to take time there. Football's just hard. You know, obviously so many players play that it's tough, but I'm going to work on it. Don't you worry.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I think this will be a blast. Maybe we'll set it up. We could either do it on the show or we could do a full-on podcast, you know, no commercials, unedited, unscripted. Not that this is scripted, but, you know, the whole thing.
I love that. You know, that's a great plan. We can just debate, go through, maybe have some lists.
I argue
about what's right and what's stupid.
I think it's a fantastic idea. Okay, so we'll start working on that. We'll build that schedule up. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you. Really enjoyed getting a chance to kind of look at that depth chart early on for the offense. I'm a big depth chart guy. It's my favorite thing to look at, so I appreciate you for doing that.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And check it out at coloradoan.com. Kind of a preview to what perhaps that offense will look like. 11:52. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.